Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Non-contact training for underage sports is back. There have been warnings, though, that after such a long period not engaged in organised sport, keeping children and teenagers involved may present a major challenge in the months ahead. Well, to discuss all of this, I'm joined by former Cork All-Ireland winner Anna Geary and also Brian Cuthbert, school principal and doctor of youth sports development, as well as former Cork senior football manager. You're all very welcome. And I want to speak first to Geraldine Mead, who's a school teacher and mother of eight. Good morning, Geraldine.
Hi, Claire. How are you doing?
I'm good. You've five boys and three girls. So What's the interest like among them all for sport?
Yeah, no, they're all very interested. I think the trick to this is to get kids interested in sport as early as possible. So my youngest, Caoilín, is six, and she's been playing hurling and football and soccer for the last year. So I think when you get kids interested in sport early, when they see that it's fun and it's entertaining and they're there with their friends so they can see the whole social aspect of it, Claire, there's never a problem with it, mm-hmm. because it just becomes a habit and you're just forming all those really good habits from an early age.
But there does come a time, and I'm not sure when that time is, maybe you can tell me from your own experience, when they start to disengage a little bit, would you agree?
So what happens, Claire, is around 4th, 5th, 6th class generally, for some kids it might even be a little bit earlier, what happens is they become very self-aware and they become very aware of where they are, we'll say, in a classroom. They're very aware of other kids being good at things, and out on the sports field, the exact same things happen.
So what do you do?
I'd come at this four ways. I think parents have a role, I think schools have a role, I think sport coaches have a role, and I think nationally we can do something. So really quickly, the parents, I think it's all about just keep pushing them, nudging them forward, keep explaining the benefits of why it's good to be in sport, the social aspect of it, the fun of it, but also from a fitness and health point of view. I think from schools, we have to be aware, even from parents' point of view, we have to be aware of the language you're using around kids and around sport. We're looking at a lot of sports where it's where there's a lot of, we'll say, boys and men playing sports and maybe not so much girls. So we have to watch our language around that. And from schools' point of view, we have to make sure that boys and girls are getting the exact same opportunities and we're expecting the same from them. From the coaches' point of view, I think it's really important that coaches would give opportunities to kids. I mean, we came down here 3 years ago to Galway. We were blessed in that the kids got the opportunity. Tiva did not want to play sport at that stage. She was in fourth class. And what happened was the coaches actually gave her the opportunity to play for 10 minutes at the end of each game, and mm-hmm. her confidence grew. This is all about a game of confidence at this age. If you can get kids to be less self-conscious and more confident in what they're doing, you're on a winner. And fourth, the last thing is just from a national point of view. We are seeing so much or so little in relation to female sports, so little about Katie Taylor or a rugby team or hockey teams or footballers, and it's such a pity. I picked up the newspaper, a good newspaper at the weekend, 24-page pullout, there was one article about a female sports player.
Mm. And we're told that is changing, but obviously it's not changing enough.
Yeah.
Geraldine, will you stay with us? I know you're on your break in school there, but if you can stay with us and maybe try and grab a cup of tea while we're chatting. Anna Geary, you're very welcome. It's lovely
to have you
here. So we've had this long period where people weren't going to their training. Now they're getting back out there. Will there be a difficulty, do you think, keeping children, and in particular older children and teenagers, interested and involved?
Yeah, and Geraldine made some brilliant points there. And I suppose just to add to those, because there is a period of time now where they have been disengaged, and that is the reality of it, and they've still been moving around the place, they've still been exercising, but it hasn't been in a more structured environment. So I suppose it's for coaches and parents to really be cognizant of that and to create an environment where you replicate that fun that they have been out in the greens playing, that you bring that fun in, and that it's not as a coach or a parent saying we're making up for lost time. I think mm-hmm. that's really important, because it's very easy to feel as a coach, oh, we need to win championship. And I think for me, look, I came from top level sport, I was very competitive, but I understand the importance of sport in terms of their life, in terms of life skills that you learn, whether you're never going to be playing beyond your club team or whether you want to achieve great things in sport. It's really important that the environment that's created is underpinned by fun. And I would say when it comes to the environment, it's four things you need to focus on. It's the connection. Ultimately, it's a shared experience that young kids want to feel part of, that sense of belonging. You want to create a culture where they're not afraid to make mistakes. They don't want to feel that there's judgment there. Because you have to remember, like any skill, even as adults, Claire, you know, when you haven't practiced something for a time, you're a bit rusty, to allow them that period.
And the confidence might be just gone,
exactly.
You know, or depleted a little bit.
And that challenge, like give them the challenge, you know. And again, I suppose, almost like bringing that little bit of autonomy into it. You know, they've been playing games and setting up matches with, you know, goalposts and the green or whatever, kicking around. Bring them into the training session a little bit more. I remember talking to Clean O'Connor a few months back, because she's an athlete and coach in terms of development. And I'm actually working on a documentary at the moment around this exact topic. And she was saying, like, it's their training session. So design the training session around the kids, that the coaches, the parents, they're there to facilitate, to encourage, to inspire the confidence. And lastly, in terms of the four C's, that comparison. You don't want them to compare themselves to each other. We need to ease them back in. And if somebody is that little bit slower to get back into it, don't push them too much, because you actually might push them away then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although, you know, they'll compare themselves. Just going back to what Geraldine said, get to around fourth class, age 11, maybe a bit younger, you start seeing yourself in a different way. You start wondering about how other people are looking at you.
Yeah. Well, there is actually research as well from Sport Ireland that they just recently released around adolescent girls getting active. And they did mention that. They mentioned, I suppose, that peer group influence, you know, how that your like friends do influence your attitude and behaviours towards sport. But I suppose, again, that comes back to, you know, the environment that's created and you feeling confident within yourself. And I suppose where there's a feeling of who cares if you make mistakes, because that sometimes it's that feeling of lack of competence, the feeling of the lack of skills, and maybe feeling that you're not sporty enough. Like even that word sport, Claire, I think we need to revisit what it means, because often it means discipline, commitment, sweating, you know, being the best. And I think we've actually lost sight of what sport is meant to be, and that's a shared experience and enjoyment.
Well, Brian, as I said, is with us. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, Claire, how are you?
I'm good. Brian Cuthbert, a great experience in this area as well. There'll be lots of children who are absolutely delighted to get back. I saw my own at the weekend racing to get back to GAA. But who are the people, who are the children that you would be most worried about here when we're talking about those who mightn't be so enthusiastic?
I suppose, firstly, Claire, you know, I think every club and every sport at the moment is experiencing a bit of a bounce in terms of everybody dying to get back. But I suppose in the long term, I'm looking at this a bit like the Irish tourist industry. This summer, everybody is going on holidays in Ireland, but we're going to question what's going to happen next year. So this huge bounce going on at the moment. But I do believe that those children who were somewhat marginalised during the lockdown will also be marginalised here, because they're the children that I worry most about in terms of return. You know, are they facilitated to actually re-engage in sport and actually remain engaged in sport over a long time? And do they have the supports that are necessary to actually keep them involved in the game? I think there's huge issues regarding sport in our country and all over the world in terms of youth involvement. And I think it's very, very complex. And I think COVID has made it even more complex in terms of the added layer that is put in front of us. But I think the big question is for us going forward, is can we, as Anna said, reimagine sport and reimagine it to be something different than just competition?
Yeah. And I have a text message here that I want to bring to you. What do you do when your sons lose interest because of cliques within teams? My son feels marginalised in his hurling team and has been given out to by teammates for not being as good. The coaches seem to focus more on skills and winning than ensuring all can enjoy the game. That is a problem. If you're not going to be absolutely brilliant at hurling, you should still be allowed to be there and feel welcome.
I think so, Claire. I think that's the key question for all of us involved in sport is how do you bring a group where differentiated levels of ability along with you, along a journey through sport, and actually get them over that big hump between the age of 17 and 18 and transition up into adult sport so that they're active for life. And I think a lot of this comes down to the coaching environment. And it's a huge, huge issue for all of the NGBs in the country in terms of how to educate coaches enough to bring children along this journey and keep them involved.
Anna's here in front of me nodding away on that point.
Yeah, I just think, because, like, Brian, it's so true, because if you treat young teams like adult teams and you set them up in terms of the structure and the strength and conditioning and all these, well, then it takes the enjoyment out of it. And Brian made a really valid point there about keeping them going in sport throughout their adult life, because we all know the health benefits and the physical and the mental benefits of sport. But if you treat it too seriously from a young age, and I'm talking young, like you were mentioning 9, 10, all the way up to 14, 15, well, then it's an environment they probably don't want to be a part of.
But coaches want to win as well, right?
Yeah. And like I do as well, but I think it's the bigger picture here. It's creating an awareness around what the bigger picture is.
Yeah.
And that's clear, sorry.
Yep. Yeah, go ahead, Brian, then I'll come back to you, Geraldine.
Yeah, on that one, I think it's how we view competition. Like, competition can be viewed as a tool for development, and sport ultimately, and this might sound crazy to some people, but sport ultimately is a vehicle for socialisation and personal development. What happens is the adults involved in the sport view it as a egotistical viewpoint in terms of trying to win stuff for themselves. And I think that's a huge difficulty in terms of actually bringing these children on a journey, involving them in sport so that they can actually derive all the benefits that come from good environments.
Mm-hmm. And Geraldine?
I would totally agree with that. I mean, it's very much coaches, how their focus is. But I think when you bring kids together in a social environment like that, their peers have a huge impact on them. And we heard from that text that came in that they were, that child was being ostracised or being given out because he wasn't, we'll say, up to scratch or up to par. We need to get kids working together as a team so they motivate one another, so they're having fun, so they're enjoying it, so they're not focused. It's like with any sort of education, what you're trying to do all of the time is get them to see and get them interested, get them to click onto it, so that, like we say, that it'll be lifelong learning, that they will continue this into their adulthood. That's what we want.
Yeah.
So it's really important to educate coaches, but also to have that camaraderie between kids when they're on the playing pitch, whether they're at 4 or 5 years of age or whether they're 17 or 18 or 19.
So many messages coming in on this. Anna, this one, I agree, sport is so, so important for children. However, football, hurling and soccer may not be for all. It's important we promote all sports, not
Absolutely.
Just those on a pitch. And that's a really important
Very
thing to say.
Very valid point. Like, I come from a GA background, but at the end of the day, I suppose it's about the access and the resources. Like, there is life beyond GA and rugby and soccer, and it's getting kids, I suppose, to realise that and maybe to experience that. Maybe it's through our PE curriculums from primary school. I'm not talking secondary school. It's like Geraldine mentioned at the very beginning, you're getting them too late if you're waiting until secondary school. So introducing this world to them, making it exciting. And I think as well, we don't give kids enough credit sometimes, even particularly teenagers, making them aware of the benefits about how it can help their career. I wouldn't be where I am today without sport. And that's because I learned life lessons from sport. Whether I was a junior B player or a Cork player, it didn't matter. It was about learning all of those skills that took me through education, took me through career. And I do think, Claire, we need to place more emphasis on the work that's being done by coaches in terms of retention. We need to reward and recognise the coaches that are really focused on, if they have 20 players in 2020, that they have 20 players walking back in that gate in 2021. And to me, that should be also lauded as success, not just trophies and medals and
or
winning.
Or 30, even better.
Absolutely, exactly. Get more involved. And lastly, I would say the language to me is so important, not just in, I suppose, from their peers or from coaches, but from parents, from you and I, like from people in the public. You know, sometimes there's negative connotations attached to sport. Oh, I've got to train. Oh, exercise. And I think we all have a responsibility as well to switch that mindset. Mm-hmm. Like, the way things that were being done before wasn't always the best way. So as Brian said, let's reimagine things. Let's recreate them, reevaluate. Maybe change how we look at what sport is meant to be.
And Brian, on that point that the listener raised there about the team sports and the ones that we're most used to, do we need to accept that not all children will be into team sports?
Absolutely, Claire. I think our culture is actually driving a push towards three main sports in this country. But I think what's actually happening is that as the world is becoming more globalised, children are seeing that there's many, many other activities that they actually can take up. I think straight away things like skateboarding, you know, lots of people down here now in West Cork are kite surfing, this kind of stuff. Individual sport where people can find their niche. And I think probably our culture is driving us towards GAA soccer, rugby, and if you don't play those, there's very little opportunity for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the country is changing, and I think there's more and more opportunity coming for people, and I think that's very, very important. But I think one last thing I would say regarding, you know, withdrawal and people dropping out of sport, and it's a bit like school, you know, we all have had teachers who made us feel special. We've all had teachers who, inside in their classroom, inside in their the environment that they created, everybody felt very much part of things. That's the environment that needs to be created, no matter what the sport children are involved in. Everybody coming up to the pitch or the court or whatever it is need to feel absolutely valued, need to feel that they are part of something special, need to feel that they're getting better at the sport, and most importantly, need to feel that they belong. And I think when you can create, and the coach and the administrators have a huge part in this, when you create that type of environment, we'll you know, at present, some sports are looking at 50% drop-off at 18. Mm-hmm. I think that would all change, but I think there's a huge piece of education needs to happen first.
Well, Jim, who's a coach in Dublin, says you should always ask at the end of a game or a match, did you enjoy that? Which seems like a great strategy. Geraldine, just going back to the team sports versus individual sports, and we have lots of texts coming in about tennis and swimming and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And Anna said that playing GAA for her lifetime gave her lots of opportunities, but also taught her lots of life lessons. I'm sure resilience is one of them. Mm-hmm. Do you feel, Geraldine, as a teacher and a parent of eight, that it is really important to play team sports to learn those lessons?
I think there are definitely benefits to it, Claire, from a social aspect, from working as a team, the discipline of it. I think they're hugely important. But I think looking at if you could get your child into any sport from a health perspective, from a discipline perspective, you get a lot of it. Like even individualized sports, you're going to have interest with other people who are doing it, like the kitesurfing or like the skateboarding or like, we'll say, tennis. There's, you know, there's so many, and I'm embarrassed that I'm not mentioning more than that. For us locally here, we are playing Ga and the soccer and that.
Okay.
And it's just, you want your children to be just the social aspect of it, just all of that social, all of that fun. And I think that's really important as they go into the teenage years and for them to keep their confidence, that confidence going.
Anna,
that it gives it sort of ups endorphins when they play sport. It's that they're playing together.
Yeah,
that there's a biology
that happens there as well.
Yeah, that they're not in a room somewhere thinking I'm no good at anything and I don't want to play.
Anna, can I ask you this question, which a listener has put to you? Mm-hmm. My daughter has resumed her sport. She's not as good as others, but she really enjoys it. At training, she was given a questionnaire rating her ability. And this listener wants to know, is this right? What does Anna think? Personally, I don't think it was right in the midst of a pandemic. I don't think it was right at any time.
Yeah, and again, for me, I suppose it's differentiating young people playing sport versus that older level that requires you to maybe self-reflect and self-evaluate. I suppose a younger person, I mean, for me, it's all about building confidence. And I think, you know, if you're teaching them the skills to be better and you want them to improve, well, then almost trying to get them to highlight what they're not so good at is almost counterintuitive.
Yeah,
then. So
yeah.
Like, I don't know the age of that young person.
I don't either.
But I would think, to me, fundamentally, what sport is about is we all know, like I said it earlier on, about like the importance of physical activity. And it's easier to do physical activity when you're in a group because it becomes more enjoyable. Or like Geraldine said, like sport in general, even if it's an individual sport, tennis, but you're still in a group environment. You still have the support structures around you. Like the research shows, I think it's 7%. In this country right now, 7% of girls around 14, 15 years old are only getting the guideline required amount of physical activity.
That's shocking.
So if we're talking about our country right now and we're looking at the health system and the pressure that it's on it right now,
mm-hmm.
think about down the line how much pressure it's going to be on if we're having these numbers. So I think it is about across the board, from the national governing bodies, from a government policy point of view, from schools, from parents, from coaches, understanding that this isn't just about sport and winning and losing. This is fundamental to our society and how we operate going forward, and changing the way that we do some things and then bettering the way we do others.
We're getting lots of messages in about, you know, people who are left on the sidelines, people are not picked as part of the team, mm-hmm. right? And that's fair enough. Everybody should be given a chance. But that's a different point, isn't it? And Brian, maybe I'll come to you on this. People have to learn how to lose as well. So be part of the team, absolutely. But you have to learn the pain of defeat.
Absolutely, Claire. I think one of the big lessons from sport is teaching children resilience and battling back and when they face adversity and accepting defeat and accepting victory. And and all that comes with that. But I think in terms of game time and offering children a fair chance, I think, you know, it's very, very important up to, in my own opinion, up to about the age of 15, that every child who participates and every child who trains and every child who gives a commitment to a club or an activity deserves to get a chance in terms of game time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think normally what happens is that, you know, coaches lose a run of themselves and they're playing the same 11 or the same 15 week in, week out.
Listen, what do you do, and Geraldine, I'm going to come to you on this, if your child turns around to you and says after lockdown, no, I don't want to go back?
Yeah, and what I have said, I've been in this position many, many times. I always say to my kids, look, you're not the only one feeling like this. Everybody's going to feel that they don't want to go back, that they're not as good as they used to be, that they might not be as skillful. And what you have to do is you have to nudge them, you have to challenge them, you have to get them, entice them, ring up a friend, make sure they get to go with somebody. You have to get them back there because it's really important from their health, from their social point of view, from so many various ways. So what you need to do is get them back, even if it has caused arguments in our house. But I know that once my kids are back there and having the fun, it's worth it. And they forget after the first few times. But it's all about communicating, Claire. It's all about talking through what you're not like, why you're not interested in going back. Just trying to keep those lines of communication open all of the time and trying to entice them. Sometimes that little bit of peer pressure is good. You know, if other people in the class are playing, and the exact thing happened with my daughter last year, but it was because she got playing time. It was because she clicked in with a girl in the class that it made it easier for her to go. And now she's been practicing, dying to go to training again. But there is that hump. And you have to, we as parents have to be able to talk through that. We as parents, please, I would ask people not to sit back and say, okay, you don't have to do it. Because I think
it can be tempting, you know, sometimes
know,
to say, oh, if you don't like it, don't worry about it. You're all right.
Yeah, but I just think for their health, for their future, from every aspect, from skills, from discipline, from, you know, it impinges on so many parts of our lives, that it's really important just to nudge. And they will thank you for it. They won't thank you for it today or tomorrow, but they will thank you for it.
Do you agree with that, Anna, that parents have to put the bit of pressure on?
Well, yeah, and I'm nodding profusely to hear what she's saying about you mightn't thank them today or tomorrow, because I was that, you know, that child going, oh, it's raining outside and I don't want to go and it's cold.
Yeah.
My favourite programmes on the television. But when I look back at it now, like some of the greatest things that I've learned, like even about working with people that mightn't be your best pals, when you go into work environment, the same thing happens.
Yeah, you have to
respect people. You have to work towards the same goal. You have to work together to problem solve. You deal with disappointments. Almost as well, believe in yourself, because if you're playing sport, you have to kind of back yourself too, and that's a wonderful life skill to learn. And you know, I just think it's brilliant that we're talking about this. But the one thing I would say is that we can highlight the problems that exist, but unless we start focusing on the solutions and almost like turning things upside down now, we'll still be here in 12 months' time. And what better opportunity do we have now that things are new?
We've had a
things
reset.
Things are changing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Listen, it's been great talking to you all, Geraldine and Anna and Brian. So many messages in on this. I'll try to get to some more of those later on, but let's now just take a quick break.
Okay. Email todaycb@rte.ie.